I bring you good news this morning, and it's found in Philippians chapter 4. So I invite you to turn there this morning. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. If you didn't bring a Bible with you this morning, that's certainly okay. It's one verse that we're going to be studying this morning, and I'll probably say it so many times that you will have it memorized by the time that you go today. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 is a great word for people who have problems. And maybe I'm the only person in the worship center this morning that have problems, but I want you to know this morning that if you have a need, if you have a burden, if you have a problem, then we're going to share some good news with you today. I don't know what it may be, but my experience tells me that everybody comes in with a burden or with a need. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how rich you are or how poor you are or think that you are. When we come together as the family of God, as the church, we all come together with what I call baggage. We carry it with us, and we have burdens and we have needs. So with that in mind, I want to ask you to open to Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And here's what the scripture says. And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And then it goes on to say in verse 20, to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's the verse that we're studying this morning. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. That's the passage that we're studying this morning. Now, if you have been here, you know that we're walking through our core values, because core values are important to understand. If we're going to have them, you need to know what they are. Some of you are guests. Some of you maybe are first-time guests, or you've been coming a couple of weeks and you're thinking to yourself, I really want to stick around at this Sagemont Church, but I don't really know what they're about. I mean, I know what they do on Sunday morning, but really, what is it that makes Sagemont, Sagemont? Well, that's what we're walking through. We want everybody to understand who it is that we are. Now, this morning, we're talking about one of the really unique things that makes Sagemont Church, Sagemont Church. And it is that Sagemont Church is 100%, totally 100% debt-free. Our church owes no man anything. Every building that you walk through this morning has been paid for. We don't owe a mortgage, we don't owe a rent, we don't owe interest money on anything, and we're going to use this verse this morning to talk a little bit about why it is that we're debt-free, but we're also going to use this verse this morning to talk a little bit about why it is sometimes that you and I have this need, this desire, this temptation to run to other places than running to God when we have a need. So that's what we're going to do today, kind of a dual track. We're going to be talking about our core value of being debt-free, but we're also going to be allowing the scripture to look into our lives a little bit and to peer into our lives a little bit and to teach us the right place to run when it is that we have need. So this morning, I want to take Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, and I want to go right to it, and I want to break this verse into four parts. The first part is the phrase that says, my God. I want you to understand this morning that when Paul is writing to the church at Philippi, he's not talking about a God. He's not talking about the God, although he could be talking about the God, because there's only one true living God. But what I want you to see this morning is that when Paul speaks to people about their needs and he's trying to encourage them, and if he could, he'd be looking them eyeball to eyeball, but he can't because he's somewhere way different. So he's writing them this letter and he says, I want you to understand that my God, he's talking about a personal God. I was in a Bible study class just this morning, and we were talking about the personal nature of Holy God and about how he was the one who created the heavens and the earth. He's the one who set everything into motion. He's the one who creates life in the mother's womb. He's the one who sits on the throne in heaven as we speak, but yet he is a personal God and he wants to have a personal relationship with us. And you may be thinking, why is it that you're talking about a personal relationship with the Lord when you're talking about being debt-free? Well, because it starts with a personal relationship to God. You see, I want you to understand something. It's very important for you to understand. God is not a theory at Sagemont Church. God is not a concept at Sagemont Church. God is not an idea at Sagemont Church. At Sagemont Church, God is the one who faced the cross, was crucified on the cross, was put in the tomb, came out of the tomb, ascended to the right hand of the Father, and that's why we have such passion when we talk about the Lord. because he is personal for us. Is he personal for you? If this morning every person in this worship center were to be dismissed, and it was only you in a stadium of 2,400 seats, could you still worship the Lord? Do you have that type of personal relationship with the Lord that even if it's just you and the Lord, you're still connected to him? And Paul starts out in verse 19. Go back and look with me if you would. And my God, Paul is speaking of a personal Lord, a personal God, will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. The second thing that I want you to see in this passage is Paul's absolute confidence in the ability and the desire of the Lord to meet needs. I want you to see that this morning. The absolute confidence that Paul has that his God has the ability and the desire to meet the needs of God's people. Do you believe that this morning? Do you believe that God has the ability and the desire to meet the needs that God's people have? Now, I want you to understand this morning that there is a huge difference in ability and desire. Let me explain the difference. You see, somebody can have the ability to help somebody, but they don't have the desire. Have you ever encountered those people in your life? Have you ever encountered people in your life that had the ability to do something great for you, they just didn't have the desire? And you know that they could do something profound for you, they could do something great for you, and you're sitting there going, oh, I just wish they wanted to. You see, there's a difference between ability and desire. There's some people that want to help you and they can't. You know who they are? That's who we've asked for money, right? Well, sweetheart, I love you. I want to, but I just can't. Have you ever done that before? I remember doing that when I was dating my wife. And I went to my dad. I said, Dad, I need some money. I'm taking Crystal out and, well, you know, I don't have a job. I started telling that story and I realized where it was going, so I just had to confess to you. I didn't have a job when I was dating my wife. You'd say, well, son, I want to, but I can't. Now, he always helped me, and this sermon's not about my dad. The point is this. The scripture says that God has both the ability and the desire to meet your need. That's what the scripture says. The Lord that we serve, the Lord that this worship team just led us singing out to and praying to, that God has the ability and the desire. So as we're looking at this verse, and we're breaking it into four different parts. First, we have the personal nature of God. Second, we have the absolute confidence in his ability and his desire. Third, we have the exhaustive provisions. I want you to look at this phrase with me again in verse 19. It says that my God will supply, and look at that next phrase, every need. It is exhaustive. The passage doesn't say that my God will supply most of the stuff that you need. That's not the type of God that we serve. We serve a risen Lord that is able and wants to take care of his children. I mean, the people that he suffered for and the people that he bled for and the people that he was crucified for. He wants to meet the needs of his people. Praise God. And Paul says, and it's so easy to pass over this because it's just so fast. You can pass it like that. And my God will meet every need. Exhaustive. Please make note, it doesn't say want. Make note of that. But it says every need. I just wonder this morning, have you identified the needs that you have right now? And I don't want to make you feel uncomfortable or get too personal with you, but have you stopped to think about the needs that you have? And it says, my God will supply all of those needs. And then I want you to see the last part. And we're going to talk a little bit about debt freedom here when we look at this phrase. According to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Now that's a mouthful. But let me tell you what that's saying. That's saying God has the ability to meet our needs. He has the ability, he has the desire, because he is the source of goodness. My God shall supply all of your needs according to his abundant riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Our pastor is always quoting this verse that I love so much. If you're making notes, you don't have to turn there. Just jot it down and go back and look later. Psalm 50, verse 10. Psalm 50, verse 10 talks about the Lord owning the cattle on 1,000 hills. Now, for some of us, we say to ourselves, what in the world does that mean? Why does it matter if God owns cows on 1,000 hills? Well, because in the day that that was written, that's how it talked about wealth. I mean, people didn't have bank accounts. There was no Chase or Wells Fargo or all these other banks that we go to and deposit and withdraw money. And so people's wealth was based upon the number of cattle and livestock. And so when it says that the Lord has the cattle on 1,000 hills, what it's saying is that there's no end of supply for our God. I mean, when his children run to him, and when we go to God and say, Lord, I have this need, I have this problem, I have this burden that I need you to see to. And we have to understand, we have to get our theology right. God is not lacking for resources. He owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. And so theologically, what we're saying, when we ask the question, why is it that our church has made the decision to be debt free? I love saying this sentence. Here's the answer. Because we have a personal God that is rich, that is committed to supplying our needs. We don't need anybody else. That's why. Why is Sagemont Church debt free? Why did they make the decision to be debt free? Well, because we've got God. We don't need anybody else. We don't need anybody to loan us money because we know God. God is our God. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. The Bible says that he will supply all of our needs according to his riches, not the bankers. The cool thing about God's riches is that he doesn't charge interest on them when he gives them to us. In fact, I want to explain to you, we're talking about the theological reasons that we're debt-free, but let me just be real practical for you. Let's say over here, there's a big bucket and on it is written ministry. And over here, there's a big bucket and on it is written bank. Now, as you decide to invest in the kingdom of God and give to the kingdom of God, and as you decide to give tithes and offerings, it is quite natural for you to wonder, okay, well, when I give to the church, where does that money go? That's a great question. And if it is a question for you, I want you to know that you can have an answer to it. I know that we're a huge church, and sometimes we feel lost and we can't find answers to questions, but I want you to understand that our books are open. Our administrator's name is David Engel. If at any time you have any questions about how the money that you have entrusted to Sagemont Church is spent, you can go see him. He can explain it to you. But you wonder, when I give, where does my money go? Well, let's just think for a second. If we have a bucket over here labeled ministry, and we have a bucket over here labeled bank, and we have in our pocket a $20 bill. Now, here's the practical reason that we're debt-free. Let's say that this $20 bill represents interest money, that if we were in debt, we would have to pay to the bank. But we only have one of these 20, so we have to decide, do we want it to go to the bank or do we want it to go to ministry? Probably when you take a $20 bill and put it in the offering plate, your preference would be for it to help people, for it to go to ministry, for it to send people all over the globe, for it to help people who were hurt by Hurricane Harvey, to help bring children up in the ways of the Lord. Probably when you take your money and put it in the offering plate, your preference would be for it to go in this bucket labeled ministry. And so we have to decide. Do we put it as interest? Or do we wait just a little while for the Lord to provide the resources so that we don't go into debt? So that 100% of the money that comes in at Sagemont Church that you contribute doesn't have to go to interest payments in the bank, but instead 100% of it can go to ministry. Now that is the practical reason that we're so passionate about being debt free. Because we want our money to fund ministry instead of paying interest. And so there's a theological reason, and the theological reason that we're debt free is because we have a personal God that is rich and he supplies all the needs that we have. But we also have the practical reason. And that is because we are extremely serious about handling the funds that are entrusted to Sagemont with integrity. Now, I want to share with you some requirements that it has forced Sagemont Church to adopt. These are some characteristics that are necessary for the leadership of the church. But understand, this is not just for the leadership. This is for all of us. As we talk about God supplying our needs and waiting on the Lord and the riches of the Lord and his glory and in Christ Jesus, I want to move away from talking about what we've just been looking at with the theological reasons for being debt-free. And I want to talk a little bit about what does it take to truly live in ministry the debt-free life, because it has a lot of overlapping to our spiritual lives. The first is that it forces us to trust in the Lord. If we are going to operate and live as a ministry being debt-free, it forces us to trust God. Now, isn't it a coincidence? I think not. That not only is that something that is required for debt-free living, that's something that is just simply required for being a disciple, a follower of Jesus. If you're making notes, write down, if you would, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Here's what it says in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. It says, trust in the Lord in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. And isn't it true that we fight to trust in the Lord? Isn't it true that you desire to trust in the Lord? Isn't it true that if I came down here and I just said, let's all have a vote, who in here wants to trust the Lord? All of us, right? We know that's the right answer. We would all say, yep, I want to trust the Lord. But sometimes it's hard. Sometimes life makes it difficult for us to trust the Lord. Sometimes we feel rushed, like we have to make a decision now, that we have to do something quick, and we feel rushed. Sometimes we feel like the task is too great. We don't have time to wait on God. Have you ever felt that way before? Oh, I've got to do something now. I don't have time to wait. I don't have time to pray. I don't have time to open the scriptures and get counsel. I've got to do something now. I've got to move now. I've got to be a mover and a shaker, and I don't have time to wait on God. Have you ever felt that way before? Sometimes it's hard for us to trust the Lord because trusting the Lord demands transformation in our lives. And if we're all honest with ourselves, sometimes it's hard to accept the transformation that God wants to bring into our lives. What else does it take if we are to live the debt-free ministry that we've made the commitment to be? We have to pursue the Lord. We not only have to trust the Lord, but we have to pursue the Lord. We have to get into the Word of God. We have to get into our prayer closets. We have to spend some time with godly counsel and say, Lord, how is it that you want us to move forward in ministry? And so the decision that we made to make debt freedom one of our core values has pushed us and compelled us and challenged us to trust the Lord more and more and more. And it's also challenged us to pursue the Lord. And to say, oh God, how do you want for us to do this? How do you want for us to honor you? How do you want for us to move forward in the ministry? Isn't that what you want your life to look like? A life that is laid out on the altar, where you are spending time pursuing the face of God, and you are saying, oh God, how do you want me to do this? How do you want me to raise my kids? How do you want me to find a spouse, Lord? You see, there's so many similarities between what we're talking about this morning and the life that we're called to in Christ Jesus to live. Trusting the Lord, pursuing the Lord. Third is self-discipline. If we're going to live this type of ministry, we have to be self-disciplined. Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23 says this, the fruit of the Spirit The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. Self-control. I want you to know that at Sagemont Church, your leadership seeks to trust the Lord and to pursue the Lord and to have self-discipline. And we invite you along for that journey because we believe that this emulates and mirrors the type of life that God has called all of us to. Trusting God is not something just for leaders in the church. Pursuing the Lord is not just for leaders in the church. Being self-disciplined is not something that's just for the leaders in the church. Before we finish today, I want to make two clarifying points. These are two things that I just feel like need to be said as we're looking this morning at Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, where it says, "My God will supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." I want to share with you two thoughts. One of the things that I want to say to you is I understand that this message is designed to teach you the core values of Sagemont Church. But I want to break out of that framework. I want our minds to slip out of that exclusive nature of what the core value means. And I want for us to understand that at Sagemont Church, we not only want the ministry to be debt-free, but we want to help our church family to be debt-free. This is, in other words, not just something for the church family. This is something for the home family. And we want to help families be free from debt. Now, in a second, what I want to do is to share with you a statistic by way of graphic. And what you're going to see is a graphic that is put out by a group called the Dave Ramsey Group. And Dave Ramsey, if you've ever heard of him, he's the debt freedom guy. And I'm actually in one of his classes right now. I'm taking his Financial Peace University class. And we're learning a lot about how to live debt free and how to get out of debt. But in my studies of debt freedom, I was given a graphic that explains where the typical church family is as it relates to income and debt. So I want to show you this right now, if you'll take a look at the screens. And 88%, that's the biggest number, right? That's the one that's supposed to just wake you up. 88% of church families are broke or worse. And the 70% completely broke. What that means is that we're virtually living paycheck to paycheck. So if you were to not get a paycheck in one pay period, you would be in serious, significant financial trouble. 70% of families live that way. 16% bankrupt or no margin. And then you see the 2% down at the bottom, the yellow, worse than bankrupt, which I'll have to email Dave about that. I don't know what that would be. But whatever it is, 2% of us are. 10% of us are living debt-free and 2% are the millionaires. If you're one in that 2%, can we get together afterwards? I have a couple of questions for you. Now, I don't share that with you to depress you at all. In fact, I share this graphic with you to show all of us the room for growth that we have. Because at Sagemont Church, we're always asking, how can we grow? How can we grow stronger? How can we grow better? Where does God want us to grow at this season of our life? And I want you to know that being debt-free is not just a core value of us as a family of God. We want to help you to be debt-free as well. In fact, we're going to be offering these classes more and more and more. I would encourage you to sign up. I will tell you that I have signed up and it has blown my mind. This financial peace class. So two clarifying points. One, that being debt-free is both for the church family and the home family. And we need it. According to this graphic, we need to learn how to live debt-free. And I want you to understand that our church is dedicated to helping you get there. The second thing that I want to say to you is being debt-free doesn't mean that the church is need-free. Okay? Being debt-free doesn't mean that the church is need-free. Now, if you're a guest or if you're a new member, you know that we have what's called the VIP lunch. And the VIP lunch is a time where new guests or people who are thinking about joining the church, they come together. We have a lunch. Our pastor gets up and he talks a little bit about the church. One of the things that he always mentions is our core values, one of them being debt freedom. And so I'm sitting at the table with this group one day and we're eating. And I'm drinking my lemonade because I always order lemonade at the VIP lunches. They make it wonderful. If you ever go, get the lemonade. So I'm drinking my lemonade and pastor's talking about being debt-free. And one of the guests says to the other guest, said, yeah, that's why they don't take an offering, because they're debt-free and they don't need income. They don't need money. Well, I'm going to spit my lemonade out all over the table. I'm like, there's so many things that are wrong about that statement that let me just dial it back a little bit. First of all, we take an offering, okay? If you didn't know about that, let me just let you know. We take an offering. We just don't pass the plates. We believe that if God has put it on your heart to give, then you're going to give. You can give on the website. You can give reoccurring. You can give through check. You can drop it in the boxes when you walk out. We take an offering. But I want you to understand that debt-free doesn't mean need-free. We have needs because our church family is made up of human beings, and human beings always have needs. And so I just want you to understand that being debt-free doesn't mean need-free. And we have two types of needs at Sagemont Church. We have financial capital needs. That's why we invite people to give. But the other type of need that we have is human capital needs. And that is where God's people stand up and say, I will serve the Lord. And so we are debt-free, and I think that's something to celebrate. But it doesn't mean that we're need-free. And I just want to capitalize on this opportunity to ask you, where are you serving? Where is the human capital in your life being invested for the kingdom of God? Are you serving somewhere? If not, why not? Could I encourage you to be a part of the service team at Sagemont Church? You may say, I don't know what's needed. Well, I'm glad you asked. We actually have some openings for ushers right now in this service, which you're in right now, so I know you come to it. And we need ushers to sit in the different sections and greet people. If you're interested in being an usher, really there's just two prerequisites. One, you have to be here at this time. Two, you have to be nice to people. You have to smile at them and say, I'm so glad that you're here. God bless you. The Lord bless you. If you're interested in doing that, when you go out today, there'll be a place out there in the ministry booth. You can go out there and talk to Scott, and he's got a thing for you to sign if you're interested. But the two types of needs, we do have financial needs, but we also need people, because we're a family, and in the family, we all do something to make it work better. So I want to close by asking you two questions this morning. Can you identify one area of your life that you are trusting it to men instead of to God? You may say, where's that question come from? Well, from Philippians 4:19, my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. You know what that says? That says in every single area of your life, whenever there's a need, you can run to the Lord. And so I ask you this question this morning. Is there a place in your life, an area, a need that you have, that you're running to somebody besides the Lord? I want to invite you to turn around today and embrace Philippians 4:19 that says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Maybe today you have a problem and you're wondering, not wondering, wandering in the dark, wondering how it's going to get solved. Bring it to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord. Maybe your problem, maybe your need, maybe your struggle has nothing to do with finances. Maybe it's an issue with relationships, or maybe it's an issue with where am I going with my life, or I don't know what type of need that you have, but I want to stand this morning on Philippians 4:19 that says that my God will supply all of your needs according to his riches. So I ask you, where in your life are you seeking to have your needs met other than the Lord Jesus Christ? This morning, would you make a decision that you're turning from that? That today, moving forward, you will take all of your needs to the Lord Jesus. The second question that I want to ask you is, do you have a personal relationship with the Lord? Do you have a personal relationship with the Lord? Paul writes about his God. Can you say that Jesus is my Lord? Can you say that there's been a time in your life that you have surrendered your life to the Lordship of Jesus? Can you say that there's been a time where you said, Lord, I'm a sinful man, I'm a sinful woman, and I need you to forgive my sin. Would you forgive me, Lord, as I follow you? Has there been a time in your life when that has happened? If not, why not? Why not?